Yo, what's up? Welcome to Teeth This, an American blog about Thai boxing. My name is Charles Little II. This is my very first podcast, and I'm super excited about it. I have been training Muay Thai for about 2 years now, and I kicked off this website, teethis.com, in the summer of 2016, just simply because I really love Muay Thai. You fall in love with stuff and you want to share it with people, so I started this blog. My goals with this blog are to help elevate the sport of Muay Thai and the culture of Muay Thai as best I can. I'm super lucky to have found Muay Thai at the time that I did, because in my opinion, it's really growing in the West. It's still small enough where you can relatively easily gain access to some of the biggest, brightest fighters in the business. And it's a good time to get into Muay Thai as it grows. So that's really a great thing. I'm on the West Coast, and one of my goals with the site is also to connect the dots between the West Coast, East Coast, and Midwest Muay Thai scenes. I'm originally from Chicago, so that's kind of important to me. I like to train around at gyms, and I like to test myself. I like to meet people, and I like to punch, kick, and say, "Oi!" I love that, too. The subject matter in this podcast... myself being a photographer and spending a lot of time out at the fights, shooting the fights and sharing those images, I was lucky enough to meet another fellow Muay Thai advocate and photographer, MMA advocate as well, and a photographer named Charlie Clark. Charlie Clark is an incredible dude. We started sharing some images over the web. I featured one of his images at teepthis.com once, and this is right about the time... Line Fight 30 and 31 were going on, and he took some really, really beautiful images of Sergio Wildson and Antonio Shevchenko, and of course, one of my favorites, if not my favorite, of all American Muay Thai fighters, Gaston Bolaños. Really, it's Gaston and the Soul Assassin, Kevin Ross. Those are really two of my favorite guys. But yeah, I took some great pictures, and we started talking, and he has a lot to say. He's a super passionate, super interesting guy with a really, really interesting story and a great perspective on things. He's got a ton of energy. He's completely relentless, and I asked him if he would be interested in sharing some of his thoughts and experiences in the world of combat sports with me on this first podcast. He said yes. So without further ado, let's get into the podcast.
Yeah, there we go.
Yo, man, there it is.
Well, it's taken us a while. We're finally here.
Yeah, we are. I think I'm already recording, man. Let's just jump right into it.
All right, where do you want to start?
Just let folks know your name and what it is that you do.
Well, my name's Charlie Clark, aka the American Wolf, retired fighter turned photographer and journalist.
Retired fighter turned journalist. That's how you got into photography, correct?
Yep.
Very, very cool. So there's three brands, Tengu Photography, The Fighting Monkey, and there's Fighting for Autism. Talk to me about those three identities that you have.
Oh, the Fighting Monkey's MMA Madness, that's where I started with my journalism. That's where I transitioned from athlete to something outside of that when I could no longer do that. I got hurt in 2014. I suffered a back injury. Mm-hmm. Had a real hard time, went through a lot of depression with it. And turning to media allowed me to stay in the sport. It allowed me to stay active.
So 2014, you hurt your back. How long had you been fighting at that time?
I had three fights. I went 0-3 in 2013. I had taken a year off to train, and I was getting ready to make that comeback in 2014. Well, probably early 2015, and I got hurt in August.
Wow, that's tough.
You know what? I think mentally it did more to me than physically.
Wow. Well, kudos, man, for turning that around. And talk to me about how that gave birth to the Fighting Monkeys.
I had a lot of good people surrounding me, a lot of good friends. Barry Lucino, another fighter, Mike Gresh, Loco Lobo, Giuliano Catino, Team Daniel Gracie. So, I had a lot of people behind me that pushed me into doing something else and transitioning into something new.
That's very cool. Now, I'm on the West Coast. Let me know, what part of the country are you in?
I'm down in Massachusetts. I'm on Cape Cod.
You're on Cape Cod, yeah. So those names that you just ratted off, are those guys out in that area of the country as well?
Yep. You know, you look up New England MMA, and Mike Gresh has been here since the 70s, you know, former champion. Giuliano Catino, he trained with Daniel Gracie, and he's fought for World Series of Fighting and, you know, most of the local promotions around here.
Cool, man. Yeah, well, I'll check back with you on that and get those specifics. I can put some links in there so people can actually look those guys up, you know. So, yeah, man, that's similar even to my situation with Teep This. I mean, you know, me being really kind of more of a Muay Thai purist, I gave birth to Teep This simply because there wasn't something like that that I saw, aside from maybe like Muay Thai guys and Paul Banaschik. Those are both guys that are out in your area of the country as well.
Right.
Well, the way you and I met was specifically through the photography.
Right.
So connect the dots from Fighting Monkeys is happening. What is Tengu Photography? I mean, that's your photography brand.
Right.
For, you know, tell me, A, what that brand means, like what that word is, and then why, how that came to be versus just, why don't you just shoot photography under the Fighting Monkeys brand?
Right. Well, everything I've branded actually has its origins in Japanese culture. The Fighting Monkey was actually named after the Japanese god, the Monkey King. And Tengu Photography, Tengu was actually a Shinto god in Japan.
Oh, right on, man.
They were kind of a warrior slash trickster type of god, usually represented by a half bird, half man looking deity. So that's where that all came about.
Okay, cool. All right.
The reason I didn't just start shooting under the Fighting Monkey, which, you know, I played around with it, but combat sports wasn't the only thing I wanted to shoot. I had a wide range of styles that I wanted to look at.
Cool.
You know, I've done everything from classic cars to architecture, landscapes, you know, wildlife. So I like to play in different things because, you know, you only get about maybe two or three shows a month, you know.
Yeah. Just seeing your images from Lion Fight, I wonder what was the first Lion Fight that you and I started talking? Was it 29?
I believe it was.
No, it was 30. Yeah, I think it was 30 with Sergio Veltzen, Antonia.
Right.
So, man, Lion Fight is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Muay Thai promotion in the U.S., and here you are shooting it.
Right.
Talk to me how you got access to that, and how was that for you?
You know, I'm kind of the take the bull by the horns type of person. If I want something, I go for it, and I'm absolutely relentless in pursuit of it. So I've had Scott Kent on my Facebook friends list for a while, and you know, I saw that they were coming to Connecticut, which, you know, was a 2-hour drive for me. So, you know, I reached out, and you know, he put me in contact with Scott Zare, and it's grown from there to a point where I can say I walk in the doors for a Lion Fight event, and I can say I feel like part of the Lion Fight family. You know,
that's great.
It's always a warm welcome. Scott's a great promoter, a great guy. Everybody's just great there.
Yeah, that's one of the things I love about the entire combat sports community. You know, I've only been really, you know, traveling through these circles for since February of 2015 myself. And I love it because it's awesome to see, you know, fighters that you respect and that you admire. And then next thing you know, a month later, you're standing there fist bumping them, shooting photographs with them, and they're totally cool with you. Yeah, no, that's great stuff.
Well, I mean, it's been a great experience because there have been some fighters that I've worked with previously. Angela Whitley, I did an interview with her. David Cummings, I did an interview with him. He's her coach. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the last Lion Fights, having those two there, that was just a phenomenal experience to be able to meet David, who's a legend in this sport, you know, mm-hmm. you know, to have him make the time to make sure that he met up with me was just a great experience.
Well, and I think that kind of segues us straight into the last topic that you and I were just talking about over the web, which was your recent experience with Bellator.
Right.
So what happened there with Bellator?
Well, I mean, basically, I put it out there on Facebook, just seeing if anybody had a contact for Bellator. Another media person ended up giving me the website and the address to get credentials. I put in the request form about a month and a half before the show, maybe even 2 months before the show. Week of the show, I get an email on the fly, you know, hey, you've been confirmed for credentials. I'm like, great, this is awesome. You know, I spent probably about 2 hours making travel and accommodation arrangements, mm-hmm. All excited about that. The next day, I get an email asking for more information. You know, okay, that's fine, that's cool. I gave them what they wanted. Then the day after that, I got an email saying that they had, quote, mistakenly given me credentials and that they were revoking them. Wow. Well, you know, come to find out, the majority of the New England media was given credentials and they were pulled.
Wow. And what do you feel about... I mean, I feel good about the fact that at least it was all of the local media and it wasn't just, you know, your particular credentials.
I could have lived with that when I found out, but it was the fact that their PR guy that was in charge of it, you know, first of all, be straight up and honest with me. Don't lie to me. You know, first you told me it was a mistake. Then you told me that you had too many media applications and not enough seats. Then you told me that the Athletic Commission was the one that pulled credentials. Well, I mean, I've been in this sport a long time, and I've never heard of an Athletic Commission being in charge of media.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I'm not dumb.
Yeah, I get it, though. I could hypothesize about the size of Bellator. We all know that UFC just got bought not too long ago for a bunch of billions. There's the Spike deal, so I'm sure there's probably a lot of moving parts. Who knows?
You don't come into somebody else's territory, run a show, and ban their media. You know, that's just not cool. That doesn't fly well.
You are just kicking down doors and taking names, you know?
You know what? Even when I was training and, you know, I have no off switch. I'm go, go, go. And I'm relentless when I want something or I feel like something needs to be said, you know?
No, dude, you are, man. The amount of posts, the frequency at which you post from Fighting Monkeys is inspiring. I mean, you know, I follow you on Fighting Monkeys through my phone, through my WordPress app, and bam. I'm like, oh, it's a great post. Bam. Bam. It's the same day, dude. It's like the third post in, like, the same day.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I try to keep it limited, you know. There is a lot that goes into it, you know, the interviews, the articles. We do have a support category for fighters that are raising funds and have GoFundMes. You know, we did have a couple of tragedies over the last few months where, you know, I stepped in to help raise funds for them through their GoFundMes, you know. Yeah. So it's all about giving back to the fight community and the fighters.
No, for sure, man. I mean, the posts that you put up, there's been a post from a 17-year-old kid who dropped a quote that, as far as I'm concerned, is as wise as a 90-year-old could have said. The kid talking about, I don't know, I don't track my wins, but I know I've won some medals. I thought that was brilliant.
Actually, that's Nick Inzer. He's only 11.
I mean, that's right, 11. Yeah. Yep. From that kid all the way to, what's the elderly woman that you just, age is not a number, the title of that post?
Ann Perez de Tejada, yep.
Man, Ann Perez, I mean, from 11-year-old to, that woman is probably in her 80s.
She is 67 years old.
Yeah, man. I mean, so I'm letting you guys know that are listening to this podcast. This dude is posting about everything that's relevant. Young kids to elderly folks that are still banging pads to beastly dudes that are current, women, men, everything. He's all the way across the board. kudos to you, man. It's a really good site, and it's been very inspiring to me to get to turn the volume up on my fucking blog.
And you know, that's what needs to be done, because, you know, for me, it was about building a platform for everybody, for all the fighters to be seen and be heard. You know, my months fill up so fast. I'm usually, like tonight, I'm usually up, you know, till 3-4 in the morning, either busting out the next set of photos or putting together tomorrow's interview.
You're bringing it. I mean, folks, I'm talking to a cat on the East Coast. It's like 8 p.m. my time. It's 11 p.m. his time. And he's right here with me. I really appreciate you coming out and rapping to me, man. It's good stuff.
No, I appreciate you having me. Yeah.
So one other thing I wanted to ask you. So did you make it to Lion Fight 32 in Vegas?
I did not make it to Lion Fight 32 in Vegas, but I will be at Lion Fight 33 in Foxwoods on the 18th.
So listen, man, there's some specific shit that you got to do for me when you get there. You know Yayo, yeah?
I am actually sponsoring Yayo.
Dude, Yayo and Julio Pena are two of my favorite guys. Please give him my love. Give them both my respect. They're both warriors, and I love watching them.
Oh, always. They both are. You know what? You know, Jason, he's a fun cat to work with. You know,
colorful, man, for real. Yeah,
really colorful. So it's been a lot of fun coming on board Team Yayo, and you know, there's nothing but good things coming for him.
Yeah, no, he's been turning up his web presence as well. Some of his seminars are online. Who else is on the Lion Fight 33 bill? Do you know?
Oh, you know what? I haven't seen the full card yet. I believe, if I'm not wrong, Antonina's back on that card.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure. I think Joan Nodawat's on that card as well.
Nodawat, for me, is the one TIE fighter. The TIE fighter that has sprinkled just enough of this American style into his TIE style.
Yeah, he has.
I watched him in Malapet. I was anxious to see that fight. At the end of that fight, when Pat Miletich asked Joe Nunawut, hey, you know, what was your strategy? You know, take us through the fight. And Joe Nunawut said, you know, Malapet, he too strong. His body too strong. He training, you know, because Malapet was training to meet Kai Hollenbeck.
Yes.
So he was getting ready to get in the ring with that tank. So he was all beefed up.
And yeah, and Kai Hollenbeck is an absolute tank.
Oh, dude, he's a tank, dude. He just walks right through you. So Malapet was ready for that shit. So Nunawut said, he was too strong for me, so I can't use my power. I have to back up. I use my technique.
Right. And you know, that I think is where you differentiate from the American Nakamui to the traditional Thai fighter. You know, they will back up and use their technique.
That's the same way I'm trying to move through my life. When you face a challenge and your initial strategy or initial thought process, your game plan isn't working, can you switch it up?
Right. And you know, you gotta find it in yourself to be able to switch it up like that. I mean, coming from personal experience, coming from, you know, being a fighter and then, you know, having to hang it up at 27, I really think it depends on the person. You know, some people can't switch it up, and you know, I mean, like I said, I'm not afraid to say that, you know, I went through a really dark depression over not being able to compete anymore, because I mean, this is my life. This is the only thing I've ever been good at, and this is what I love, you know. Yeah. And it's like, how do you transition? How do you not have that? You know.
No, talk to me, man. I mean, are you training at all?
I still work out. I haven't trained in the last year. Really, just been trying to focus on, you know, getting that back injury healed. You know. Yeah. You know, I guess I'm not at that point where I can say I'm 100% done. You know, I'm at that point where it's never say never.
Well, I'll say this to you, man. I'm dealing with my first injury. I've got bilateral arthropic shoulders.
Right.
So both my long heads of my bicep tendons are both inflamed and strained. So I haven't been in the gym since July 1st.
Right.
And the lesson in that, my injury, has just been patience. You know, I got into the game late, and I went at it like gangbusters, and within a year, I was ready to take my first fight. And just as I got ready to take that fight, this pain started happening in my shoulders, and it became so unbearable, I couldn't even dress and undress myself without the help of my wife.
Right, I mean...
And the same shit I said about Nuttawut, having that wisdom to know how to switch it up, you know, respect to you for... 27 right. years old, you get an injury like that?
You know, I think I could have dealt with it a little better if it had come out of training or a fight. But it was a stupid work-related injury. Ugh. And, you know, I think that's what killed me even more. It, you know, I didn't get to end it on my terms, you know. Mm-hmm.
But what you did was you continued it on your terms.
Yeah, and you know, I want to give the fighters the opportunity that I didn't have. I guess in a way I can still live my dream through each of them, you know?
Yeah.
You know, when I watch a fighter that, you know, I've interviewed or I've worked with, when I watch him go out and bring home a title or get a win, you know, I can live that, you know, I can feel that.
It is incredible that you're able to shoot the photographs that you're shooting of these particular people and play a role. I myself want to play a role in growing the sport of Muay Thai in this country at this stage. So let's just keep rocking it.
I am so excited about the growth of Muay Thai. You know, there are some absolutely phenomenal young fighters coming up. One in particular, 13-year-old Summer Bronco.
Summer Bronco.
This girl is an absolute phenom. She's absolutely incredible. Multiple time world and national champion.
Where's she from?
Oh, she's from out your way.
Oh yeah? Maybe we'll have to reach out to her at some point and try to link up. But I'm gonna definitely put her on my radar and try to.
Phenomenal young athlete. Just got back a couple months ago from. Representing the USA in Japan.
Nice. All right, so, I want to do two more things with you. First,
right.
I want to run through some particular images that you were gracious enough to share with my blog, teepthis.com. I want to run through some of those images, get the story behind those pictures, and then I want us to wrap it up about fighting for autism. I want to learn about that. I want you to bring us up to speed on what that's about.
All
right. There's the image that Teepthis.com is rocking right now in our little featured image section that Sergio Wilson teeps Arthur Meyer at Line Fight 30. Meyer was kick-ass. That was a great fight. Talk to me about that image. Talk to me about how you're shooting also in the Foxwoods Casino with the lack of light and the fast motion. Tell me how you're dealing with all that.
Well, I mean, I don't know how other photographers do it. You know, I like to read muscle movement. Coming from a background where I've been in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's all about movement. I can read the muscle tone, the muscle movement of a fighter, and set up accordingly to get that shot. It's almost that sixth sense where you kind of know what's going to happen before it happens.
That's wicked. Are you using one camera body, multiple camera bodies?
I have two. I have a Nikon and I have a camera, Canon. One's multi-lens and one's a single lens. My Canon is a single lens. That's got a 500x zoom on it, and that's actually what I started with. The Sergio Wilson photo was actually taken off that one.
Oh, when you say single lens, you mean the lens is affixed to the body? It's attached.
Yeah. Yep.
Ah, and they're all there. There's no. You're not using any mirrorless cameras yet. Everything has a mirror that flips.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Cool. All right, so that was a fixed lens camera that you shot that Sergio Wilson shot. Dope. I've always told people it's the Indian, not the Arrow.
Yeah, and you know what? That's very similar to what my mother always said. She always used to say it's not the camera, it's the person behind it.
Well, there you go. Did you get to meet Sergio or Arthur on that night?
I did not get to meet Sergio. You know, I'm hoping he comes back maybe, you know, next year or something and I get to meet him.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I've gotten to meet a ton of fighters. You know, it was actually maybe last year I did an interview with Valentina Shevchenko,
mm-hmm.
and you know, this year coming in, getting to meet Antonina, her sister,
And
interviewing her was, I mean, I think after the last Lion fights, I had a set where I interviewed Jarena Bars, Iman Barlow, and Antonina Shevchenko, you know, all within a week of each other.
What is going on with Jarena Bars? Why is she not plastered all over the walls everywhere in this country?
You know what? I honestly don't know. I do know she just signed a contract with Bellator Kickboxing. I don't know how that affects her Lion Fight contract. I know her last fight with Lion Fights was the last on her contract. And then I haven't heard anything about her being re-signed or anything.
I'll be honest, man. I'm still looking toward Bellator. I'm still looking to that brand to help elevate kickboxing. When they did that, I forget the title of the actual event that they did, but the time where they had two rings, they had an octagon and a ring.
Dynamite show.
Dynamite. So when they did Dynamite 2, man, when they do these shows and I see my favorite Muay Thai fighters brought to that level of visibility, I like seeing it.
Yeah, you know, the kickboxing rule versus the Muay Thai rule, you know, I think a lot of the fans get it mixed up because it's not the same thing.
No, it's not, and I don't think America gets it at all yet.
No, I think
the fucking refs don't even get it yet.
Oh, let's not even get into.
Can't even go there. I don't want to badmouth them either. It's new. We're new.
refs and judging have been the bane of fighters' existence for a long time now, and you know. We definitely need.
I mean, I remember when Gaston Bolaños fought Crompet.
Yep.
And that was all crazy, you know, because they gave it to Crompet, then they took it away and gave it to Bolaños.
Right.
But through the whole thing, both Gaston and Crompet were both totally professional. They were above the judging. And I agree with it because when you're on the other side, when you're inside those ropes, you're both winners to me as far as I'm concerned.
Right. And you know, that leads me into, you know, I've gotten a lot of heat from people. You know, I hear a lot that, you know, and I've heard it a few times, you work with nobodies. Well, you know, my theory is,
wow.
There is no nobodies in this sport. Everybody who gets in that ring or cage deserves the utmost respect for what they do.
I'm still tripping on that you work with nobody statement. Keep going. Go ahead.
You know, the one thing that, and this has been eating me alive for the last year, is I have dealt with so much hate from within the local media. I've been told by people that there are people within New England that would rather see me drop dead than continue to do what I do. And that's fine because, you know what, I'm going to tell each and every one of them point blank right now, I'm going nowhere. Good luck trying to get rid of me. You know?
My man is here to stay. Talk to me about this then. These beautiful images that we are talking about now that you cross hot coals to shoot, where do these images go? After you shoot them, after you get them out of your camera, get them into your computer, make love to them, massage them, get them all cleaned up, where do they go after that?
After that, they do go to the Tengu Photography Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
You can find thousands of images. I mean, World Series of Fighting, Lion Fight, Cage Titans, New England Fights, CES, Ammo, I mean, you name it.
Now, do the fighters that are in these, does Sergio know that these beautiful shots of him are out here? Does he?
You know, as far as Sergio, I don't know if he knows that image is out there.
Interesting. Well, I mean, you know, my network is not gigantic today. Who knows where it will be in 6 months or 6 years, but we will continue to keep it moving at teethis.com, and we'll just, you know, keep trying to keep it growing, and I'll do my part here to share them.
Well, that's always appreciated.
I wanna wrap it up with your third brand. We've went deep into Tengu Photography. We've learned about the Fighting Monkeys MMA Madness brand. You guys can follow that that blog. But he's got one other brand that's very, very interesting. It's a beautiful logo, Fighting for Autism, with a red fist. What's up with that?
So basically, what we are is we're a nonprofit organization comprised of fighters, coaches, teams, you name it. And we've all, in some way, shape, or form, been impacted by autism. Me, personally, I'm high-functioning autism. I have Asperger's syndrome. A lot of people don't know that. I have a godson that's autistic. I also spent 5 years working in group homes with developmentally disabled and autistic adults.
Man, right on.
So, you know, the cause is one that's very close to me. And the mission is simple. It's to educate people. You know, it's to dispel the myths and the misconceptions surrounding autism.
So it's close to home. I when I saw that, I was like, he's got to be somehow connected. So that makes sense to hear that.
It's very personal. You know, we do a lot of fundraising, a lot of really good work. I mean, Liam McGreary is one of our ambassadors. It's all comprised of people within the martial arts community. And simply put, you know, together we can make a difference. Together we can make a difference in the lives of a family dealing with autism or a child dealing with autism. Because it's not an easy road. It's not an easy thing to have to deal with.
I'm really glad that we met. It's been cool rapping to you ever since we first started, you know, sharing images and sharing posts and following one another on social media. And thank you very much for sharing your images with Teep This, man. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, no, you know, I mean, like I said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here to you know, bang it out. And, you know, I'm not just like I was when I was fighting. I'm still not afraid to throw down.
One time real quick before we wrap it up, just give me the specific links that are the best places to keep up with you.
Well, the links, they're simple. If you go to Facebook, it's Tengu Photography on Facebook, and the Fighting Monkeys MMA Madness on Facebook. And you can find the link to the website right there, or just click on one of the blog posts and it'll take you to the website.
All right, man. Well, thanks a lot for doing this inaugural first podcast with me, man. It's a fucking honor.
It was an honor, and I appreciate it. I look forward to doing it again.
All right. Somebody cop, my brother.
All right. Have a good night, my friend.
You too. Well, just like I said, that guy has a super, super interesting story and a whole bunch to say. To be honest, I haven't run into very many people in the combat sports community that are not super interesting and do not have a whole lot to say. I take it back. I've run into some people that are kind of quiet, but if they don't talk with their mouths, then they use other body parts to communicate what's going on inside of them. But yo, so thanks a lot for joining in, and I hope Charlie's story and his sentiments were as interesting to you as they were to me. Make sure you go to the website, teepthis.com. There will be samples of the photography that we talked about and links to Charlie's different brands and some of the different individuals that he spoke about and some of the topics that we covered. I'll have a bunch of links and a bunch of notes there in the blog post. Feel free also to leave any comments, ask questions, make comments. That would be great. That can kind of help me shape things as I move forward with the site. You can expect a new podcast on a monthly basis at this juncture. I would love to put stuff out quicker, but at this juncture, that's going to be the frequency that the podcasts are going to come out with. But I'm going to talk to everybody, man. I'll talk to fighters. I'll talk to older people, younger people. I'll talk to gym owners. I'll talk to coaches. I'm definitely talk to the photographers and a lot of the other enthusiasts around the culture and the sport of Muay Thai outside of the ring that are super busy doing lots of things and putting a lot of passion into, you know, keeping this sport and this culture moving and growing here in the Western Hemisphere. So with that being said, live well, laugh often, love much, and train hard. Sawadee krap.